This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:12 and we are going to be talking about plans to reinstate the autonomy of our parliament. Now, this is coming after the Day One Rakyat Deputy Speaker Ngau Kor Ming said that the government wants to table the Parliament Services Bill 2020 this March in order to restore Parliament's autonomy.
Yes, so the Parliament Services Act 1963, this was repealed back in 1992 and it led to the legislative branch of government to be placed under the Prime Minister's Department, which, you know, really blurs the lines when it comes to the separation of powers, right? So the tabling of this new bill is expected to return that autonomy to Parliament and also allow Parliament to have its own budget and hire staff, including people like researchers, which can help to improve the functions of the Parliament.
Yeah, so we haven't been talking that much about Parliament because obviously it's not in session. When it is, we have Popit Parliament. So when this comes up in March, you can expect to hear more about it then. But in the meantime, I think that this is a promising step in the right direction, especially because the autonomy of Parliament is something that comes up quite a bit. I think that there is always, in ways big and small, attempts to ensure that there is not too much a concentration of powers in any single office or in any single person. And in our country, at least, the Prime Minister tends to be the focus of that, right? The Prime Minister's office tends to be the focus of that. You don't want someone to be able to too easily just kind of bulldoze things. And hopefully this would go some way towards alleviating that.
Yeah, so this seems like a positive step towards continuing the parliamentary reforms, right, that the current administration is trying to pursue. My wonder is that why is this, has this not been done earlier? Because back in 2004, if I'm not mistaken, there was a report that said this issue was brought up in Parliament, saying that, you know, we want our autonomy back. And this idea, this notion was supported across the aisle. But that was like 16 or 15 years ago, and it's taken so long for this idea to resurface. So I'm glad it's happened, but I'm also interested to find out, like, what were the factors behind that stopped this from being pursued earlier rather than now.
So we are going to be speaking after this with Ui Hing, who is the executive director of KPRU, and that's going to be coming your way. But if you have thoughts, you can of course call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:16 in the evening and you're listening to The Evening Edition with Lynn and Ayman. We're talking today about plans to reinstate the autonomy of our parliament that will hopefully be coming our way this March when the government tables the Parliament Services Bill. So to try and understand what this is really going to mean, we're crossing over now to Ui Hing, Executive Director of KPRU. Ui Hing, thank you so much for joining us. So Parliament currently sits under the Prime Minister's Department. How has this arrangement influenced and affected the way Parliament works, and how are the reforms likely to change that?
We have a minister in charge of the Parliament, and the minister, this minister currently is the Dato' Liew Wei Kiong. Previously, some of the previous minister were people like Nazri Shahidan, you know. So because you have a minister in charge of Parliament, so that minister, given his power, when Parliament is in sitting, and when we talk about ongoing of the Parliament sitting, then the minister will always have a say. And in certain circumstances, the Speaker of the Dewan Rakyat, as well as the President of the Dewan Negara, they will feel that, you know, in a way, the minister can overrule the certain decision being made by them. With this suggestion of the Parliamentary Services Act, and as well as the Parliamentary Services Commission, meaning that we are trying to shift from the existing model of having a minister being dominant in the legislative affair to new direction, or to the direction where we once have, where Speaker was given more authority, where Speaker was the one who is in charge overall of the parliamentary proceedings, parliamentary affairs, as well as the staffing and also the budgeting of the Parliament. So I think that will make quite a big difference between the existing one and the coming one.
So from what we know, that autonomy includes Parliament being responsible for its own budget and hiring their own staff. So could you explain how this can improve Parliament's functions?
Okay, because currently, every year when the Minister of Finance tables the budget, so the budget will consist of the budget of 25 ministries. And then one of the ministries is JPM. And under JPM, there's this item on the Parliament. So the Parliament will have to submit their proposal on the yearly budget to be approved and accepted by the JPM and then later by the Minister of Finance. But with the new model, the Parliamentary Services Commission then is in place, meaning that it's a different way of doing the budget. So instead of submitting your proposal and then to be accepted and approved, now what we do is that there will be a committee headed by the Speaker of the Dewan Rakyat, and then the President of Dewan Negara will also be in the committee, and you will also be having representatives from the Ministry of Finance, and then you will be having representatives from the opposition. Normally, it's the opposition leader. And they will sit in the committee, and when they will discuss and they will decide on the budget, annual budget, then they will table that budget. So the difference is that instead of asking for the permission from the JPM, now the speaker can decide. By having a say in deciding the budget, that also means the speaker will have a say on the direction of the legislative body. For example, what kind of changes we want to have over the next 1 year when it comes to parliament setting. You know, whether you want to have, say, for example, a room, a committee room for each of the select committee, that will be decided by the speaker. And say, for example, if the speaker feels that it's important to enhance the research capability, then, you know, the speaker will have a say on who to hire, whether we can hire someone from outside of the parliament setting, you know, someone expert in certain field, you know, to be included in the parliament setting and to provide the necessary support to members of parliament. So all this, the direction will be set by the speaker with the budget being decided by speaker in the committee, you know, with those representatives sitting in the committee.
Okay, so to get down to it, how does all this improve accountability and potentially the efficacy of parliament?
That will have to go back to the relationship between the executive and the legislative, because all this while, the power given to the executive is so big that, you know, legislative is like almost having no say. It's like following most of the major decisions made by the executive. Okay, of course, we know that there is this fusion of power between executive and the legislative, because you need the members of parliament who are also part of the cabinet, meaning the minister. They will come to parliament and then they will table the policy, the budget, the bill, everything. And then only the members of parliament who are not the part of the cabinet, we call them backbenchers. So these backbenchers, they will take part in the process of the scrutinization of the bills, the policies, everything. And then they can criticize, they can also come up with their proposal, everything. Then only being debated and being passed in parliament. Okay, now what we want to do is this. We recognize that the fusion of power is there. That is the reality of how the government of the day runs. But then we also want to give more authority to the legislative, meaning that we want to highlight the principle of separation of power by recognizing the context of fusion of power. The power of the executive, I can say, is like overwhelming. Until at one point, even the members of parliament, they say the parliament is like a rubber stamp. So to reduce overcoming power of executive, you will need to give more power and authority to the legislative body. And the symbol is always at the speaker. So meaning that you need to give the speaker powers to decide on budget staffing and also the direction. So by having this Parliamentary Services Commission, I think the speaker will be given that kind of a stature. And that stature is more or less equal to a minister, and sometimes in certain countries it's almost like, you know, equal to the position of the prime minister, just comparatively. So when the speaker is given the kind of stature and power and the resources, then he can achieve the kind of balance between fusion of power as well as separation of power in a more meaningful way. That means when you talk about reform, when you talk about the daily proceeding in parliament, some meaningful changes can take place without relying too much on the executive. You know, for example, when you want to come up with a select committee system, what kind of a select committee you want to have? You don't have to rely all on the cabinet, on the executive. Instead of relying on the executive, the legislative can work out all this more independently, and it will become more meaningful because in the longer term, not only the speaker, even the backbenchers, meaning that the ordinary MPs who are not part of the cabinet, they can play a more meaningful role. They feel that they can have a say as well in the, throughout the process.
So it's been almost three decades since the Parliament Services Act was repealed back in 1992. And back in 2005, there was a cross-party support to reinstate the act, but it didn't happen. So I'm just wondering, what stopped it from being reinstated throughout the years?
I think basically the political will, because to bring back, to reinstate the Parliamentary Services Act, you will need the approval from the cabinet. Which means we will need the approval from the Prime Minister. So in the previous government, they did try, but then it was rejected finally. So basically it was because of the political will. And I think second also because at that time, the conception of the relationship between the legislative body and executive, the discussion was not so much. Not as meaningful as now because of what we have gone through during past few years. Basically, most MPs, I believe, they have this feeling that it's time that we give authority to legislative. It's time the backbenchers are given a larger role to play a meaningful role in the new setting. So when the ordinary MPs themselves have this demand, they themselves look at themselves, place themselves in a higher position where they see themselves can play a larger role as a legislative body. Then I think with the political will of the current cabinet, it's very likely, I believe, they will table this bill. And I also believe eventually it will be passed. So this year, I think it's quite likely they will witness a new parliament. And new parliament, not only because we have this Parliamentary Services Commission, also because this year, I've read from news, they are going to use the new building. So I think this year basically is a new year. 2020 is a new year for Parliament of Malaysia.
Ooi Heng, thank you so much for your thoughts. That was Ooi Heng, the Executive Director of KPRU, talking to us about the plans to introduce, to reintroduce the Parliamentary Services Act, and you can reinstate the autonomy of Parliament because right now it is under the Prime Minister's Department. So if you have any thoughts about this story, you can always send it our way. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, or you can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.